It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
All right, so we're calling it California Sake Country. Jason Schneider is here. He is, is your title general manager at Bottle Bar?
The general manager and spirits buyer.
Yeah, you're the spirits
and sake buyer.
Yes. Even though sake is Japanese rice wine, it falls under your category.
It's come under
spirits.
My jurisdiction as of a couple years ago. It's a brewed product, so I guess it kind of covers all the bases. Yeah.
Jason Schneider, GM and spirits buyer and guy that does it all at Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst is on vacation. And Barry and I have been talking about this for a long time, about doing a sake smackdown. And we wanted Jason to do it, and that turned out to be a positive and a thing that we are doing today. Ken Tamanaga, the longtime owner, the guy who founded Hana in Rohnert Park,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 1990.
1990.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this, and this is my opinion, but and I don't want to piss off any of my other friends who own Japanese restaurants, but Hana, to me, in Rohnert Park, is the premier Japanese restaurant in the county.
Yeah, I'm kind of a grandpa for everybody.
Yeah, you've been around since, 1990. I had no idea. Dan Berger, your thoughts on Hana. I know feel the same as I do.
I remember when they first opened. I mean, this is crazy. I moved here in 86, and there were no decent Japanese restaurants. And then sometime in mid-19, I guess sort of around August or September, somebody's telling me, hey, you got to try this place down in Rohnert Park. It took me about 3 weeks before I finally got down there. Well, I'll tell you, it is really amazing. The preparations are fabulous. Everything is impeccable. A beautiful atmosphere, and it's just beautiful. The whole program is good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree. And the only thing I miss about working at Q105 radio in Rohnert Park was that it was in Rohnert Park. And I would have lunch at Hana probably 3 times a week because it was just down the street. It really is an amazing restaurant. I had no idea, Ken, that it was 1990. Unbelievable.
That's when Bottle Barn was also founded, November of 90. So yeah,
really?
We're all celebrating anniversaries.
Wow.
Nobody tells me anything anymore. After 10 years, they just say, oh, screw him. I didn't realize Bottle Barn in 1990.
Yeah. 28 years in November.
Yeah, I used to have a job in the down the street in the Airway Drive. I came here, like I was Tokyo to here. Then my boss, that's an optics business. I'm an optics engineer before I start making and using a knife.
Wow.
And then that time, a bottle of brown is over there. So, right. Yeah, 1990. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
talk about Hana and what makes it so special, in your opinion.
I moved like 1988 here in this country. And then I was looking for like a good Japanese restaurant. You know, I love eat. So, they're okay, but it's not like the same Japanese food I grew up with in Tokyo.
Yeah.
So, I have to do it. You know, so like I have to serve something. You know, a lot of people misunderstand about Japanese cuisine. So like if you can make a tempura, teriyaki chicken, and then a California roll, you can open up a restaurant that time, you know. So like, I want to eat something else. You know, I want to making a really nice sukiyaki. Like, you know, however, you know, just ginger pork, and then that's then I fly back to Japan, and then go to the cooking school, and then but I was in high school kids. I'm always working a restaurant, and then that's my passion. So. That's eye open, you know.
Yeah, cooking school, keeping current on the different trends and things that are going on in Japan. I know Jason also travels the country he has drinking. he learns about drinking.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Drinking classes.
I like to take my work home with me.
Yeah, I'm
very
sure you do.
Enthusiastic about the learning aspect of this.
And well, he should be. Jason Schneider from Bottle Barn and Ken Tamanaga from the amazing Hana restaurant in Rohnert Park. Dan, you've been there many times, but tell our listeners, in case they're not aware of where this is.
It's on the east side of the freeway,
It's near Rogers Lake. It's near Mary's Pizza.
Yeah, right, not far from that giant hotel.
The Doubletree.
It's not a very large restaurant, but it's so accommodating and so friendly and so quiet. It's just wonderful atmosphere in there. And there's parking is right up against the building.
Oh, it's great. Beautiful.
It's fabulous for me.
Exactly.
I don't have to look for a parking space. The preparations are so fresh. It's just remarkable. I'm always impressed by the quality of some of the and Ken was here to teach these people a lot of, because keep in mind that back in that day there were really no Japanese restaurants of any quality in this county, so this was really the guy who opened the door to it.
I agree completely, and it has sustained its amazing reputation and everything else that goes along with it for all these years. 1990. I'm blown away.
Yeah.
That's
when
amazing.
Did you open the Sake Lounge? Because that's a new
Sake
addition.
Lounge, you know, we just opened 3.5 years ago. Yeah. We expand about 1,500 square feet right next to it. And then, just tenant to move out. So I have to do this. Is maybe I'm getting older. So if I don't do this, I'm not going to do it forever. Right. So, and then it used to be like a business getting busier, people waiting right behind the customer and waiting a seating. I didn't like at all. So these lounge people kick back in the chair, just order the sake. So that's kind of main goal for me.
Welcome addition. Yeah, to have that space.
So the Sake Lounge, how many off the top of your head? How many sakes?
We carried about 100 plus different kinds of sake.
Jeez.
Yeah. So the most expensive one, close to $1,000 for a bottle. And
$1,000?
Yeah.
Did you bring one of those?
Did not bring one of those today.
Mike, give me my $100 bill back that I was going to give Blair. Let me see if we can,
down payment.
Grease the palm here.
And then also, some sake we sell for $35 in the bottle. And then, but it's all good sake. So, so we have about... We have a lot of choice for customer.
Now, am I correct in saying that the sake bar thing happens at a certain time every day, or is it full?
We just that area just open for nighttime.
It's, yeah, okay.
5 to close. So
makes sense.
5 to, weekend, 9:30. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, we carry, so you import sake also, right?
Right.
So.
Technically, I cannot be importer,
okay.
And then because I own a restaurant. And then I asked my friend, she's a head, person for Judy Best. She used to be import New Zealand, wine.
Right.
Now, she helped me in my business.
Open up. Okay.
Yeah. So I walk around around the Tokyo area, and then I taste and look inside in a brewery. I feel something really good. And then also all my sake brewery people, so nice and friendly, have a really good passion. And so I want to help out these people. And then also, a lot of sake here in a big manufacturer, sake. My sake is all a small hand, just a traditional, old school making technique.
Nice.
I love it. That's why some sake, okay for last year. This year, I don't want to buy this year because it's all handmade,
gotcha. Okay.
Because we probably
Jason, how many sakes do you
from
guys
Sake
have?
Tengoku, the company that brings these in, we have about 8 selections at any given time, 8 to a dozen. We're going to do an event with Ken at the restaurant this Sunday, and there we're going to feature 12, a dozen different sakes paired with food that they'll prepare, mainly Western-style cuisine. My contention has always been sake, you find it in Japanese restaurants everywhere, but why isn't it out there at other restaurants?
I agree.
It goes with anything,
I agree. I love sake, and it's so diverse and varied, and, there's, like he was, Ken was saying, they've got hundreds of sakes, and each one is a little different and special, and it's a trip. So, come on.
Yeah.
Burger King, start selling sake.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sake and a Whopper.
Yeah. I'll put my crown on and have a Burger King sake.
Well, that's kind of dream,
Yeah, really. Okay, it is California sake country today. Jason Schneider, GM at Bottle Barn, is here. Also the spirits guy. Ken Tomanaga, the owner since 1990 when he started the place of Hana, my favorite Japanese restaurant, and it's in Rohnert Park. Of course, Dan Berger here. What are we, let's taste this. Very creamy. What is this one?
So this is called like a nigori sake. But, you know, lots of nigori used to be like a... you know, of course, like a, you know, kind of cheap sake, and then, you know, make it more sweeter, easy to drink.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's,
it's
no, you know, good story, you know, like next morning, you know. So, you know, so.
Yeah.
But this sake.
Too much sugar.
Yeah. This sake is a Junmai Ginjo, still like a medium, nice polishing sake using. And then they didn't press, you know, like a, they didn't press. That's why, like, a, make more like a nice flavor into the sake, makes more sweet. So whatever you taste, you know, like a sweet, it's like a rice sweet, you know. So that's, you know, this is really good quality, like a nigori sake. Yeah, it's called, you know, called Shirataki Shuzo from Niigata, Uonuma. And then you can go for Shinkansen, you know, the, and then maybe 5 minutes walk from Yuzawa Station, you know, like a, take a Shinkansen. It's beautiful.
So sake in Japan is everything we think it is as far as popularity and use, right? I mean, it's a big deal there.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, sake made by rice and then koji and then also, water. That's it. You know, so that's basically, in a simple in process. So that's why kind of hard, you know, like how they got to be make better than somebody, you know.
I was reading about this recently, and they say that the high end of sake is still very popular in Japan, but the lowest end is dying. Beverage-style sake is not doing well.
Well, if it's not the best.
They say that it's the millennials are more interested in the more quality-oriented.
Good for them.
I notice around here, I think people with a subject like sake, it's foreign to them. They don't understand it as well. And I like to look at any beverage. Like, to me, I equate this to a rich Chardonnay or some of the richer, more full-bodied wines that have texture, you know, maybe malolactic fermentation, something like that. So I think if people just sort of open their mind to what they're drinking and tasting, it's as complex and beautiful as any wine, and you can really find some parallels of what they go, you know, what foods they pair with.
I agree.
Yeah, right.
Sake in Japan, you folks say sake more, sake. And we say sake. But either way, it's fine.
I'm always fixing, you know, just people something.
If you're not familiar with sake or sake, it's a beverage made by fermenting rice that has been polished to remove the bran. Unlike wine, in which alcohol is produced by fermenting sugar that is naturally present in fruit, typically grapes, of course, sake is produced by a brewing process, more akin to that of beer, and that's what Jason was mentioning, too. Jason, explain what you know about, and you know everything, I'm sure. Uh-oh, he's giving me that sign.
Those big eyes.
He got that face.
I'm far from a sake expert.
I know.
As Ken just mentioned, simple ingredients, rice, water, and koji. And if I have this correct, koji is
koji.
Yeast culture, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like beer. They brew it, you know. There is a lot of terminology when you look at a bottle of sake, and I think it's confusing for a lot of people, as it is to me. There's a lot of terms. You'll see Junmai, Hanjozo, all these different terms. Basically, you know, most of them relate to whether it's a natural product or whether there's been alcohol added to the sake. The rice milling is one of the most important parts of production and quality. The more the rice is milled, the purer.
More expensive.
More expensive, yeah. But more pure, yeah. Right? More pure flavors, more delicate.
Yeah, the processing of sake can be very, very time-consuming because you can't rush this process. It's like any brewing process. It takes a step-by-step approach. Wine is a little faster to make.
Interesting. Let's talk about Dan, give me your thoughts on what you're tasting right now.
The rice aroma comes through very clearly once you know it's rice. When you first smell it and you don't know it's rice, then your first thought is, gee, this is odd. It's a little unusual. What grape variety is this? It's not really a grape, so therefore it doesn't have any distinctive varietal components. But the rice character really does come through, and it, if it's really highly polished, it moves toward wine. But if it's unpolished, it becomes somewhat coarse, and it's just a beverage. It's interesting beverage and fascinating to drink it, but it doesn't have that fine quality. The more polishing you get, the more elegance you get.
I don't know which one I just tasted. This one
here.
That is amazing.
That might be our best-selling sake from Ken's collection.
Very affordable for everybody. You can heat it up, and then you can drink it chilled. You can drink cold, you know, like a room.
See, that's the other thing I love about sake is that, a lot of it you can drink cold, which is nice at times, and then warm, which is nice at times.
So how about what are you eating for that night? You know, just like, we eating lots of pot dishes we call nabe, and then it's like a sukiyaki type things. We heat it up this sake and drink together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like a little sashimi today, and just chill the slightly, and then the same sake, and then play, so many different ways.
Cold sake shouldn't be too cold, right?
Yeah.
I've had that before, where it was almost too cold, and I went, whoa, I got to let this chill, unchill a little
bit. We were talking about that before the show, that like any product, any wine, if it's too cold, it loses all its nuance and flavor, and just like if it gets too warm, the same thing.
This little one, Steve has to try this one. This is a whole different ballgame. This one has got highly polished aromatics, and very interesting how, if you think – how close this is to wine. Just smell that, and you'll see the
it's
aroma.
It's a great, great aroma.
It's a wonderful aroma. It's a whole different thing. It's similar.
Oh, hell yeah.
But it's sort of delicate.
And what is namazake?
So namazake is unpasteurized. And then,
unpasteurized.
Yeah, it's still like a slightly like, still live sake. You know, so that's why, like, and then also this sake maker, they never add brewery alcohol on the top. They're only using just three ingredients, and then that's why, like, nose is more like aroma is really different than like sake. You just taste this one. This one have a more aroma than this one.
Yeah, I've never tasted anything like this. What would be the price on that?
We sell that for $14.99 for a 375 milliliter bottle, which I think
is
incredible value.
Yeah,
when you look at it,
that's one of the best sakis I've ever tasted.
Complexity. And then also this sake is really, if you slice cheese in the home, and then cheese with this in the sake is just excellent. Yeah.
All right, it is California Sake Country today with the founder and owner of the Great Hana in Rohnert Park, Ken Tominaga. Is it Tominaga or Tominaga?
Tominaga.
Of course.
I don't know. I don't know what's the difference between those.
I don't know either. I'm just, after 10 years on this show, I mispronounce so many words and names. Don Berger is back with us.
Just call me Linoleum.
Wow. Jason Schneider, GM at Bottle Barn, and Ken is here, and Dan is here. It's California Sake Country today with Dan Berger. And today, featuring the Drive's Sake Smackdown, Jason Schneider is here from Bottle Barn. He's GM there and the main guy in the spirits world.
The spiritual leader, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And Ken Tominaga is here. He founded in 1990 the Great Hana restaurant in Rohnert Park. What made you pick Rohnert Park at that time? I mean, that's 1990. That's like 100 years ago, I think.
Yeah. I moved from Tokyo, and I just want to live in a little bit countryside, so I'm kind of tired of, living in a big city.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just married 4 years before I opened the restaurant, and then I planned to have a baby for that time. So I really want to grow my kids in the countryside. So I don't know much about the area, But you know, Nona Park is the middle of Sonoma County, so like I can get the customer from Petaluma, San Jose.
Yeah, from north and south.
South. So hopefully, like, you know, that's how I pick up at Nona Park.
Well,
so.
It's a great location and has been.
Yeah, easy to access from high, you know, highway.
Yeah, great parking. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. Now, like, about, you know, Bay Republic just opened right next to us. You know, just sometimes we fight for, like, a, you know, parking space, but, you know, it's good for us. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's an amazing place. I earlier, last hour, called it my favorite Japanese restaurant in Sonoma County. I know Dan and his wife are big fans.
We love. Well, my wife's vegetarian, so that helps a lot. And she eats a little seafood because the doctor said, "Sure, it's a good thing." So that's a seafood vegetarian. I guess I don't know what the word is.
I can't believe Dan is married to a vegetarian. Because you're a meat eater, you're a carnivore.
Well, every now and then I'll have some meat. Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah, but I basically follow along the lines of we eat the same things most of the time.
So
every
you
now
have
and
to.
Yeah, got to do it. You know, you can't have two different dinners every night.
I'm in the same boat. My wife too is vegetarian.
Really?
So I eat a lot of salads and a lot of things I wouldn't normally feed myself. So it's good for me that,
Kathy Ratto here, our executive producer, she and I were married for a number of years, and thank God you weren't a vegetarian. I never would have made it. I would have had to stop at Burger King and get my sake and burgers. That's a reference, an earlier reference.
That's
if
right.
You're just joining us, forget about it.
You might be onto something here.
Jason Schneider, GM at Bottle Barn, and the main spirits guy, Ken Tomanaga from Hana. We're doing a drive sake smackdown. Where are we now? What's going on
here? This latest one is fascinating. It's another one of those highly polished. It's got beautiful, beautiful aromatics. It's a little subtler than the other one.
So this sake is called Uonuma from Shirataki Shuzo. And now this day, a lot of people looking for high polishing sake, because they want to know like aroma. But this is really under like a polishing.
Yeah.
So they have a more like a nice umami in there. So like this sake is big sake, but you know, you can taste a lot of rice. That's where I like it, you know. So,
I am tasting more rice in this than the last few tastes I took from other ones.
And we sell this one in a 300-ml bottle, just like the previous one, $11.99.
Jeez,
and
that's a good price. Yeah.
These are the first two sake we've ever had in the cold box at Bottle Barn. So,
congratulations!
After years of being, you know, propositioned by sake salesmen, you finally made the cold box.
Good, thank you.
Dan, you said this is the one you said it was hard to describe, right?
Yeah, well, the aromas are very distinctive when you smell it, and you know what you're smelling. It's easy to identify sake after you taste a few of them, but the words don't translate from wine. My terminology is not real strong.
I get a lot of cantaloupe, like a lot of melon.
There you go. That's good.
That,
I like
you know,
that. Yeah.
Finally came to me after.
Mm. Yeah, after thinking all after night and drinking about six bottles of it, you went, I got it.
Cantaloupe.
You woke up in the middle of the night and your wife said, shut up. And you went, cantaloupe. I finally got it. Yeah, geez. And the website is great, by the way. It's Hana, H-A-N-A, Japanese.com. I love this, a photo of sushi, and it says, sushi, sake, repeat. A taste of Tokyo.
Yeah, that's my, like, son's idea. You know?
Yeah, I believe that.
Best job in the world, the guy who writes the directions.
Yes. it really is such an amazing place. In fact, somebody on sfeater.com said, and I quote, perhaps the best sushi to be had from the Golden Gate to Portland, Oregon. Hana is the kind of spot where you find other chefs eating before going to their own restaurants. And, you know, that says so much. And I agree. I mean, I need you to open a second place in Bennett Valley. Yeah.
In your kitchen.
So that would work, too. Yes. I want to be able to walk.
We are good in the catering team anytime.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jason, talk about the sake thing this Sunday at HANA.
So this coming Sunday, we're doing a private event. Unfortunately, already sold out. But I'm hoping that if this goes well, maybe Ken would be willing to do another. But we sold.
I bet he would.
Yeah. It's going to be, I think we did 40.
I need more sake lover, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, 40 to 45 tickets were sold for the event. Ken and his crew are going to prepare a lot of Western cuisine with a Japanese twist, obviously, to it.
No, explain that again.
Well, we're going to try to highlight the fact that you don't need to just drink sake with Japanese
cuisine.
So it could go with fried chicken.
I ran down the Burger King thing with the Crown. You're right. It should be available in other places.
Absolutely. And I think particularly in Sonoma County where the culinary world is so strong, this food, there's a few places that do carry sake that are non-Japanese restaurants, but it's few and far between.
You know, I think, you know, my gut feeling is that these other restaurants are thinking, no, we don't know anything about this, sake, and our people, our customers, wouldn't care one way or the other, but I don't believe that's true.
I think that is you're correct that they do worry about that, and I also agree that the people of Sonoma County are adventurous. They have great palates.
Exactly.
We see it at the store all the time. I learn from our customers. I've been at Bottle Barn for almost 20 years, and I learn more from our customers than anyone else.
Yeah.
So you're right. I think people would be willing to give it a try.
I grew up in Detroit, and I don't think they have sake in Detroit. I doubt it. Well, except at Japanese restaurants.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, there's just so many areas that aren't hip to this.
Right.
But Sonoma County is.
I think all of California has enough adventuresome diners. And what's really fascinating for me is that this is a product that is generally not going to be bone dry. It generally has a little bit of sweetness. So even people who have never tasted it before, the sugar is going to help a little bit to alleviate the scare tactics. And you just taste it and you like it. And then you find out which level you're in best appreciating that style.
When I think, to me, Japanese cuisine is all about balance, and I think sake is just perfectly exemplifies that. It goes well with the cuisine. It can be drank by itself, but there's a balance there. There's this purity to the product that I love, and I'm becoming more and more in love with it every day.
And how – excuse me. And the fact that, as I said earlier, you know, that it's all different. Every time I go to a Japanese restaurant, I would love to go to HANA in Bennett Valley, but it's all distinctive, you know, like great wines,
right? Just keep in mind, though, one important factor for people who don't eat Japanese food a lot, one of the most interesting things, is that you're going to have things like wasabi and ginger, pickled ginger. You're not going to see that in every other restaurant. You're going to see it in a Japanese restaurant. You will not see it in an Italian place.
So. No, no.
So that's why sake tends to work with that kind of food.
Yeah, and I don't see sake being, a major part of any Italian restaurant.
No.
Being Italian, I would probably go, what are you thinking? Because there's so much other stuff you should
Would you like some wasabi with your chicken parmesan?
Oh, man. Linguine vongole. I want clams with, sake. No, never mind. But, yeah, I agree. There's a lot of restaurants that, aren't specific to, ethnicity or, they're not Italian, they're not Mexican, they're just, basic American restaurants. Why not?
Yeah, and I think also the trend that's been going on for a decade or more now of the small plates, so many places have so many different types of cuisine, so sake can work in those.
Yeah.
And I know it's tough for a restaurant, their wine program, there's limited space, there's, a limited budget, but I just could see sake really taking off in mainstream cuisine.
Especially in California.
Especially in California.
Exactly.
Right.
I want to remind everyone to check out the podcast of California Wine Country today. It'll be called California Sake Country. Go to calwinecountry.com or any of the great places where wonderful podcasts are offered. And we put up every episode, as it were, and you can check it out and find out what all our guests and Dan Berger is talking about when it comes to wines and such. And today, sake. Jason Schneider, the GM at Bottle Barn and the spirits guy, is here with Ken Tominaga. And I know I'm saying it wrong, but I'm Italian. What do I? Tominaga is pretty close, right?
Yes.
He started Hana, Japanese restaurant in Rohnert Park in 1990, and it is my favorite Japanese restaurant. Dan Berger's here, of course. I don't know. What is this?
I don't know what that is. It's your wine glass. Unbreakable.
Dan's out of his element in some ways because he's the wine guy. But
I just got back from Michigan where I tasted all these wines from Michigan.
Right. We wanted to talk about that, and we'll talk more next week. But,
all right.
Yeah.
It was just fabulous. 500 wines.
I just got the 1 minute here.
Okay, that's it. Just
next week we'll talk
next
more
week,
about it.
If you can visit Michigan, go.
And you were judging?
I was judge. I was one of 18 judges. We had a fabulous time.
In East Lansing?
In East Lansing, right at the Kellogg Center, yeah.
And I graduated from East Lansing High School and went to Michigan State.
That's why you have that accent.
I started in radio at Michigan State University, and they said, you know, you can't talk like this. So I said, okay, let me practice. Here we go.
He wants to be on FM.
Believe me, I was most of my life. Ken Tominaga, you got to go to Hana, folks. It's the greatest Japanese restaurant in Sonoma County.
Thank you. Jason
Schneider, great to see you again.
Nice to see you. It's been too long.
You need to come in more, and we'll talk spirits and other things.
I would love to do it. Congratulations on your big anniversary today.
10 years.
Jeez. Something.
Happy anniversary, you guys.
Ken, great to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
I'm amazed we haven't met before. We need you to come in on our one of our Thursday shows.
Okay.
As Restaurant of the Week.
Okay.
And we do that because you bring
bring a food here. Yes.
You bring
Mike
make and food I a bunch of food. Yeah.
This is a good gig.
Yeah.
Dan, Jason, Ken, thank you guys. Have a great evening. Good night.